So today I'd like to speak on the topic power in. And we live in a time in which our belief in the supremacy of right over wrong, good over evil, justice over injustice is now being severely challenged with respect to who we are as a nation. And because the stakes are so high in the very character of our democracy, whose independence from British rule we celebrated this past Thursday on the 4th of July. This democracy is now at risk, given the choices we will make in the upcoming November elections. And so it is perhaps not surprising that there is now a great deal of concern, if not outright alarm, by some in response to what some folk perceive to be a missed opportunity and a major sign of vulnerability and weakness in the most recent presidential debate. And these concerns and alarms were heightened even more once folk realized that some of the potential guardrails that we thought we had in the highest court in the land to protect us from past and future abuses of power by those who have been elevated to the highest office in the land, the office of president. Those guardrails that we once thought would always protect us in a state of emergency have now been tossed out by majority decision of our Supreme Court. So in this heightened time of concern, if not outright alarm, the very character of our nation is now being tested as much as perhaps any other time that we can think of before. Because the very nature of our existence as a democracy is now at stake. So for those of us who would like to think of ourselves as people of faith and belief, this is one of those moments where how we truly think about Jesus will be put in many ways to the test. Do we truly believe that he has power to do all things in spite of what we consider to be the material circumstances of our lives? Sometimes we get hung up on things material, what our eyes see, what our ears hear, and we forget that there is a higher force at work in the universe that is beyond what we can see with our physical eyes or hear with our physical ears. And when we lose sight of that, sometimes we make rush and bad decisions. And fear drives us to think that we can put ourselves in the driver's seat and take over the car and push that higher force that we wanted to be in the lead in our vehicle of life, push that force somehow to the side. Do we really believe, therefore, that even if someone has a bad day, at seemingly one of the worst times. Sometimes you have a bad day, but it's even worse when you have a bad day at the worst possible time. Do we really believe that even if someone has a bad day at seemingly one of the worst possible times, and even if the highest court in the land removes some of our most important guardrails, that the one whom we profess to follow and believe has now limited power and limited ability to alter the material circumstances of our lives? Sometimes we limit what Jesus can do if we limit our belief in who Jesus really is and what he has come to convey. And do we really believe deep down at the very core of our being that Jesus is no more than a mere carpenter's son? A person who has no power or ability to help us overcome our worst days and our worst moments. A person who has no capacity or ability to shift the balance of power back from wrong to right, evil to good, unjust to just, despite the material circumstances of our lives. When we look at Jesus, who do we see? Do we just see a carpenter's son? Or do we see the Son of God who has come to convey all power and all ability to those who choose to truly believe? Despite what our eyes see and despite what our ears hear and despite sometimes what our physical sensibilities may tell us, that's the challenge when Jesus comes into our hometown, is to believe that he and he alone can do things that surpass our own human abilities. And this was exactly the challenge that Jesus faced when he returned to his hometown. For the people there knew him most by the first 30 years of his life. And before he was baptized by John the Baptist and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him, they knew him in those first 30 years of his life. They knew him most by those beginning years. And even in spite of the fact that he had now begun to teach in their synagogue as one who had wisdom, and despite the fact that he had begun to people had begun to hear rumors of the deeds of power that had been done by his hands, according to our text, beginning in verse 3. The people began to ask, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Jose and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters with us?" And then our text goes on to say, and they took offense at him, as if to say, "Who do you think you are?" And then Jesus went on to say to them in verse 4, "Prophets are not without honor except in their own hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And verse 5 and 6 then tell us, "And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them, and he was amazed at their unbelief." So Jesus brought two those people in his hometown the power of God, but they refused to accept it due to their unbelief. They didn't believe they could do what Jesus was offering them the power to do. And so God's power remained dormant in their lives. Like those other instances where Jesus exposed the power of God that he had come to offer, the people in his hometown could only perceive what was ordinary and mundane about him. They couldn't look past his peasant family ties, for after all, his siblings were still there living among them. But most of the time that we witness the miraculous feats of power that Jesus performed with others in Scripture, outside of this occasion, which by the way was one of Jesus' bad days, outside of this occasion when he was in his hometown, most of the time that we witness the miraculous feats of Jesus, we see that persons of faith who reach out to Jesus expecting something good to happen. They reach out to Jesus expecting that he has somehow some ability, some power to help them transcend their day-to-day life circumstance. Last week, for example, we heard about the woman who had been suffering from blood hemorrhages for 12 years and had tried everything else under the sun before coming up from behind Jesus and touching his cloak, believing that if only she could touch the hem of his garment, she could be healed and made whole again. Likewise, in the 5th chapter of Mark's gospel, where the leader of the synagogue's daughter had died. Before she had died, the leader of the synagogue believed in Jesus' power. And not only did Jairus believe in Jesus' power, but he then went out to find Jesus. He did something with his belief. He went out to find Jesus and then bring him back to his home. And when Jesus came to Jairus' home, he performed his first act ever of raising the dead back to life when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. We read about these two illustrations of Jesus' healing power in our gospel reading from Mark's 5th chapter on last week. And while Jesus was the vessel of such healing, it was the people's belief in Jesus' power, followed up by their actions, that actually activated this power. Again, the woman who had been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years without relief from any physician came up from within a crowd of people who had been following Jesus and said, if only I could get close enough to him and part the crowd in front of me and alongside of me, if only I could get close enough to Jesus and just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. And she then reached out. Once she had parted her way through the crowds and touched his cloak, she did something with her belief. Then Jairus, one of the leaders of the Jewish synagogue, as we said, not only came to Jesus when he saw him, but Scripture tells us in that same 5th chapter of Mark's gospel that he fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And even after they had come to Jairus' house and were told that the child had already died, with the crowd jeering and laughing at them for what seemed to the crowd to be the futility of their efforts, Jairus continued to follow Jesus into the house, along with Peter, James, and John, and the child's mother, while everyone else was put out. Sometimes we had to put out from us people who want to stay in their disbelief. If you want to stay in that circumstance where you don't believe that God can do through Jesus amazing and miraculous things that will defy all human expectation, if you are one of those people, then stay away. Stay away from me at least, but stay away from anybody who truly wants to believe in the power of Jesus. Don't diminish someone else's faith by your lack of faith. So Mark's fifth chapter says that Jairus, even after the crowds began to jeer and laugh at them because his daughter had already died, he continued to follow Jesus into the house, and Jesus had to put everybody else out. And after Jesus raised the little girl back to life, he told Jairus and the others assembled, his three disciples and the little girl's mother, "Don't tell anybody about what you've just witnessed." Isn't it interesting that Jesus sometimes wants us to have our faith tested before allowing us to experience the full power of God? That's why he told them, "Don't tell anybody. Let's wait and see whether or not they choose to believe for themselves." So with both the woman who had the issue of blood and with Jairus, whose daughter became the first occasion where Jesus raised someone from the dead, their faith or belief in Jesus, followed by their actions, called forth into being power from on high. Did you know? Do you know what kind of power you have access to that's just waiting for you to activate it, to trust in your full, unadulterated belief in who Jesus is and what he can do for you? Faith and belief enough then not only to trust and believe in what Jesus can do for you, but then to do whatever the Spirit of God tells you to do in response to your faith and your belief. You have to also act on your faith or your belief for it to bring down God's power. For after all, faith without works is what? Dead. Time after time in Scripture, we see that belief and action go hand in hand. Hand in hand with power. Even when the disciples weren't quite sure who Jesus was or the power at his disposal, they at least committed themselves to do something in response to his leadership at critical moments of decision making, even before they fully understood who he was. When he called them initially and said, "Come follow me," what did they do? They saw enough in him to come follow Jesus and leave their nets behind. So, beloved, every time we step out on our faith and do something as a consequence of our faith and belief in Jesus. We're putting ourselves in position for Jesus to then do something with us. Jesus' power and our belief, exercise and action, therefore go hand in hand. There is an effort by some in this country to build a golden calf and to endow that golden calf with godlike powers. You don't believe me? Then just look at what the Supreme Court did. And look at how some people believe certain leaders should lead our nation. And just think about how so many of those folk who believe in this come out of the church. I've been in ministry, I'm not going to say how many years. But I will say this, I haven't seen anything in Scripture to justify the things that people want to claim represent God about this person. You remember in Scripture when Jesus went up to the mountain when he was leading the Israelites in the wilderness? Scripture says he was on the mountain for 40 days and the people lost sight of Moses during that period. What did they do? Because they no longer had a person that they could see that for them represented or embodied God, they built their own God. Melted the gold and silver and put it together and made this image and then endowed that image in their minds with power to rule over them. So we have a choice, I'm afraid, in this nation to choose between that graven image. It's not a graven image, it's a real life image that some would make into a god and endow with godlike powers. We have a choice between that path and the path of an invisible God. A God who came to us not only in the prophecy and testimonies of the prophets of the Old Testament, but came to us in human form, born in a manger to peasant parents, and who now comes back to his hometown. And the people who see him there can only think of him as that person of the first 30 years when he was just one of them, but who has now come to them as someone endowed himself. Now that he's been baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit has descended upon him, he is now in full bloom in his role as the Messiah, the Son of God, the one whom God has given to us to convey to us what? God's power. We have a choice between that path. And sometimes when Jesus walks among us, we will not be able to distinguish him with our physical senses. As a matter of fact, our physical senses may tell us that he is someplace else. But when he does come to us, for all those who truly trust and believe, he will come to us with a sense of power. And so I believe in that path that Moses set the Israelites on, and in that path that Jesus became the fulfillment of, that path of the invisible God who still has all power. In spite of what our eyes see, our ears hear, and our physical senses convey, because that God, after all, is the same God who sent a stutterer at 80 years of age back into Egypt to lead his people in the wilderness. That God is the same God who told a man of 75 years of age that he would be the father of a great nation of believers. And only 25 years later did that man become the fulfillment of that promise, which means that Abraham was about 100 years old when God's promise came to fruition in him. So don't believe that God can't do amazing and miraculous things that defy our human expectation and imagination. As a matter of fact, God may set it up that way. Just to test you, to see where you are. Do you really believe at the core of your belief, your being, what Jesus can do for you? If you put your full trust and belief in him and then do what the Spirit tells you to do. I know that for me, I've just redoubled in my mind. Regardless of the uncertainty of the times, regardless of who's where, what, I do know that there are two people who have been on a ticket whom we have voted for. Two people, a president and a vice president. We didn't just vote for one person, we voted for two people. And so I have made up in my mind that I'm going to do whatever it is that I can do to ensure that that golden calf gets torn down. To ensure. It may mean that I have to do 10 times as much as I thought I needed to do before. But guess what? If I have to do 10 times as much as before, God will empower me to do 10 times as much as I intended to do before. Because I'm not putting my trust in humans. I'm putting my trust in God. Now, God can use humans, but it's up to God to determine. And one thing I do know about God, God doesn't look on superficial appearances. God looks at the character of a person's heart. Doesn't matter whether you're old or young, God's going to look at what's inside of you. Didn't he do that when he chose ultimately David over any of David's brothers? But God's not concerned about how young or how old, how infirmed you may think yourself to be. God is only concerned about your belief in him and what he can do through you. And if you believe, truly believe, not this superficial thing where, you know, I have to see it for myself before I can do anything with it. No, because God's going to see, if you're that way, God will see that as a superficial kind of belief. God That's why Jesus told those who were with him when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, don't tell anybody. Let them figure it out for themselves, because that way we'll test and see who really believes in me, even when they haven't seen it fully for themselves. Beloved, there is power in our belief, and that power is also activated in action. When Jesus comes into your hometown, come, sit, stand, or lie at his feet and make yourselves available to him so that he then can do something with you. Amen, and thanks be to God who allows such things to be said.